All right, so today we begin this series, I Am Confident. Would you just say confident? Today we're in the beginning of the series Confident, and I just want to kind of ask a question as we start, and we're actually going to ask a question as we finish today. But the question that I want to ask as we begin today is simply this: what are you confident in? What are you confident in? And for some of you who may consider yourself like grammar police, I just want to make sure I correct this, because some of you just had a heart attack because it ended with a dangling participle. But here's the grammar, you know, the grammatically correct version of this. In what are you confident? In what are you confident? In other words, in what do you place your confidence? In what do I place my confidence? That many of us would say there's something in our lives that I find confidence in. Some of you would say maybe there's not really anything in your life that you find confidence in. But just to get started, in case you're wondering, well, what is Chris confident about? There's one thing in particular that across my life I've kind of been pretty confident about, and it's my eyes. I know that might be a weird thing to say as a guy, but I've got awesome eyes. I've got fantastic eyes, guys. If you haven't seen them close up, you really probably want to come take a look sometime, because they're really, really good, okay? And in two ways. One, I'm about 34. I'm going to be 35 this year, and I still have 20/20 vision without glasses, without contacts. My eyesight is really good, and I think that's pretty exciting. Secondly, though, is that I just have some pretty good-looking eyes. Again, I don't mean to make anybody uncomfortable, but my eyes are pretty good looking. So good looking, in fact, that one time when I was in college, I had this girl who was a friend, and we were kind of talking with a bunch of people at one point. And in front of a bunch of other people, she said to me, "Chris, your eyes are so beautiful that if you ever asked me out, I would say yes, just for the chance that I could have a baby with eyes as good looking as you." And I said, "Well, I don't know what type of dates you go on, but that's not really a date to me. That's a marriage, and so I think that's a little, you know, like I didn't know exactly how to respond to that. But that's, you know, I was like, wow, thank you, I guess, for the compliment and the super awkward everything that just happened, and everybody else is kind of looking, going, that's something weird." And so I had that, but then it turns out she was actually kind of right, because when we had Noble has my eyes exactly. And so at our first doctor's appointment, we were sitting there, and Noble was kind of like up on the little table and smiling at the doctor, and the doctor goes, "Oh, your eyes are so beautiful." And I just kind of in the other chair said, "Thank you." And she goes, "Well, I wasn't talking to you." And then she looks over, she goes, "Oh, I was talking to her, but you have the same eyes, so congratulations to both of you guys." And I was like, "Well, thank you, doctor, that's great." So I have confidence in that, but here's the thing. For all of us, at different times in our lives, at different spots in our lives, there's things that we would say, "I've had confidence in that," or I've been confident about that, or "this is something that made me confident." And I don't know what it is for you, but I have a couple ideas of things that maybe some of us have been confident at different times in our lives. For some of us, you might say that you're confident in yourself. Anybody be willing to say that you're pretty confident in yourself, that, you know what, at the end of the day, like, life is going to come at me, and things are going to get difficult, and things are going to sometimes be really good, but whether things are bad or good or anywhere in between, I've always been able to kind of figure things out, you know? Like, I'm a pretty smart person, I'm pretty hardworking, and so whatever comes my way, I can pretty much figure out just about anything. For some of you guys, you'd be saying, "You know what, I'm just confident in myself, I'm confident in me. I can figure out life, I can figure out how to make it works." Some of you guys would say you're confident in yourself. Some of you would say, "You know what? You're confident in your looks." You're like, "No, not me." But some of us, let's be honest, we're a good-looking church. We're a good-looking bunch of people. Matter of fact, I was talking to one of you guys today. I said, he told me he was 60 on the way. And I said, "Dude, if you're 60, like, I want to be looking like you when I'm like 40, like that, like, you know, like." But we're a good-looking church. And some of you guys would say, "You know what? Like, across the course of my life, looks have helped me. Looks have gotten me out of some jams. Like, looks have gotten you out of some tickets. Looks have gotten you like some special treatment, or some, like, where someone caused you to be the exception to the rule, where you didn't have to play by everybody else's rules because you were better looking than someone." And so you'd say, "You know what? At the end of the day, I may not have a whole lot else going for me. I don't know that I consider myself real smart or real anything else. I don't have a lot else that I can rely on, but I know I'm good looking." Some of you guys would say that you can rely on your good looks, and, you know, that may be something that fades over time, so you may want to find something else. I don't know. For some of you, you would say that there's family. That when you think of things that you can rely on, things that you can be confident in, things that you go, "You know what, I have confidence because of this," you would say it's your family. Maybe it's the family that you came from. Maybe it's the family that you're building. But that something about the family relationships of a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or your kids or your husband or your wife, you'd say, you know what? My family is solid. My family is something that I can count on. I can rely on. I trust that they are going to continue to be there for me. That no matter what comes my way, like I could go bankrupt tomorrow and my family is going to love me and take care of me and support me. I could announce that I have cancer and I know my family is going to be there at the hospital for every visit. My family is going to be there constantly. I can rely on my family. For some of you, it might be that there's some relationship. That it might be a friendship. It might be a romantic relationship. But this is the person that you would say, you know what? I know I can count on that person. If everything else and everyone else fades and if everyone else kind of leaves me and if everyone just kind of falls by the wayside, I know that this relationship is solid. Anybody else ever have a relationship like that? Where you just, you know, like this person, they always know the right thing to say. They always seem to know what I need before I even bring it up. They just have to, like, they have a lock on like what I need and what I want and what I'm feeling and what I'm going through. So I know that they're going to be there no matter what. And for some of you, if you're honest, it may not be a relationship thing, but it might be just simply a job. That when you think about it, maybe you could put also here money. That as long as life is secure, that you feel like, you know, I've always had the job. I've always been able to get a job or get a better job or get an advancement or get a promotion. And so as long as I've got the job, then I've got the money. And as long as I've got the money, then I can have the house and the car and whatever else comes with it. That as long as I've got the job and as long as I, you know, have the ability to work hard, I know that I'm going to be secure. I mean, we could have a lot of different things that we would say in relation to things that we've been confident in. But if you want to know the definition of the word confident, if you'd put that up on the next screen, that confident literally means the feeling or belief that one can rely. Would you say rely? That someone can rely on someone or on something, or the second definition was it's a firm trust. In other words, the idea that I can stand securely, I can trust that what's beneath my feet is not going anywhere, is not moving, is not going to go away. I can stand secure on this thing, on this person. I can lean my weight on them. Now, if you're wondering why these are paper towels today, why this, is simply this, that what often happens in life and what you know and I know is let's just say that this represents our life. Now, this is one of my daughter's stuffed animals. Its name is Cinder because it's a dragon and it burns things up even though it's adorable. And look at those big eyes. It's so cute. It's like the Zooey Deschanel of dragons. Anyway, so let's say that this represents our lives. This represents our lives. Cinder is me. Cinder is you. And when we place our trust on ourselves or on our looks or on our family, on our relationships, on jobs, on money, what we're really doing is we're taking our lives and placing it on some paper towels. And what you know and what I know, is this is kind of tough to balance, what we all kind of know is simply this, that when conditions are good, when conditions are perfect, this paper towel may be able to support our lives, right? When conditions are good, when conditions are perfect for the thing that we have our weight rested on, it may be able to support us. So it's not about us, but it's about if their lives are going well, if the job's good, if the economy's good, if the relationships are solid, and what they're going through is solid, it can support us. But what you know about paper towel is this, that it wouldn't take a whole lot of water for this thing to fall apart, would it? And what can so easily happen is that the things that we place our lives on and the things we place our weight on, the things that we think we can rely on, the people that we think we can rely on, so often we put our life on them. And when life gets difficult for them or when life gets messy or when life gets complicated or when life gets wet, it falls apart and we in turn fall apart because we were placing our weight or resting our weight on something that was never meant to hold us. Was never meant to hold us. And so fear comes and doubt comes and worry comes. And if you've ever had that, I mean, here, let's just be honest. Most of us have had that moment or had that experience, right? Where we were leaning our life on something and it fell apart. Or we were resting our weight on something and it fell apart. Or we were trusting that something was going to be solid and it turned out not to be as solid as we thought it was going to be. And here's the thing. What you know and what I know is that in those moments, we have a couple options and we have a couple directions that we could go. That when we experience the idea of something shifted, something fell apart, something wasn't as solid as we thought it was going to be, something didn't hold up, we have a couple options. The first one is this, that we could choose to not trust anyone or anything. I mean, if we're just being honest, some of us, we have difficulty trusting in anything or anyone or trusting in any church or trusting in any church leaders or trusting in anything because we've seen time after time when we put our trust in something or leaned our weight on something or leaned our weight against someone that that person or that thing fell apart. We can choose to not trust anything or anyone. The second choice is that we can say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I just have like multiple support structures, that I'm going to lean my weight on multiple things. So I'm going to make sure that I'm leaning my life on myself and my looks and family and relationships, and I'm going to have multiple friendships. And so I'm really going to like kind of build up this thing where I have so many paper towels under me that a little bit of water is not going to affect me. And here's the thing that we all know when it comes to this illustration. No matter how many paper towels you have under you, life eventually gets messy enough and wet enough that you fall through because they fall apart. And so you can decide, you know what, I'm going to have so many people supporting me and so many things supporting me and so many good things that I lean on that I'm never going to fall apart. But the thing that we all eventually understand is that no matter how many things you have supporting you, eventually you fall. If you have so many of the wrong things and the wrong people supporting you, the wrong things always fall apart. And so here's the thing. We have those two choices, but today I want to introduce a third choice that we're going to talk about through the rest of the series. And the third choice is to make sure that our confidence is actually in the right place or the right person to begin with. Because when life comes at you, you don't want to have your life built on the wrong thing and the wrong person. You want to make sure that your confidence and where your life has leaned and what you've leaned your life on is actually something that can hold the weight of your life and can sustain the weight of your life. And so today what we're going to talk about, I don't think this should come as any real big surprise, is this idea that we can lean our weight on the God who loves us. We can lean our weight on the God who has called us. We can lean our weight on God because at the end of the day, while I might not be good enough, my likes and my looks may fade, and my relationships and my family might not be as strong as I want it to be, I know for sure that God is always strong enough for me. That's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks, making sure that our confidence is in the right place. And here's the idea that I want us to understand today, is that there is someone we can be confident in even when we feel that we have no reason to be confident. That when life shakes us and when life stirs us and when life moves us and when life leaves us feeling rocky and where we can't find our footing, there is still a reason to be confident because we believe in a God who stands firm. So today we're going to actually begin looking over the next 5 weeks at the life of a man named Joshua. Would you say Joshua? Joshua. We're going to look at this man named Joshua. And Joshua was an Old Testament figure. He was a person who lived in the Old Testament times. And in fact, when we first meet Joshua, Joshua was kind of like the executive assistant to a man named Moses. Now, you don't have to be a church person or have studied the Bible for much to have heard about Moses. I mean, most of us have heard about Moses, but just in case you haven't heard of Moses, this is the guy that Joshua was following. Here's some things that Moses accomplished. Number one, he confronted Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was the king of the most powerful nation in the world at this time. This is about 1300, 1400 BC, and Egypt owned everything and everyone and conquered everything and everyone in their sight. And Moses, because God told him to, Moses said, you know what? I'm going in front of Pharaoh, and I am not resting until he lets our people go. That's where "let my people go" comes from. In order to confront Pharaoh, God said, we're going to bring some plagues. So Moses was the guy, at the snap of his finger or at the sound of his voice, when he said, God, go, God sent a plague on the Egyptians 10 different times. Moses was the guy that God used to stand in front of the Red Sea and go, boom, and this entire sea parted so that 2 million people could walk across on dry water. And at the snap of his fingers, the waters went back to cover over the Egyptian army that had tried to follow them through. When he was the man who God spoke face to face with Moses. God gave the law to Moses. When Moses went up on the mountainside, when Moses went up to talk to God, God didn't just stay up in heaven and go, hey, I'll talk to you from here. I'll hope that you can hear the whisper. He came down and got close and actually audibly spoke to Moses. He gave the law through Moses. And then here's the crazy thing. Under Moses' leadership, for the next 39 years after the law was given on Mount Sinai, the Israelites wandered in a desert. I mean, God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to get my people out and we are going to the promised land. And then under Moses' leadership, they got out, but then they wandered. You guys know what I'm talking about? That they wandered. They circled, basically circled the desert for 39 years. Just imagine how frustrating that would be. I mean, we get ticked off if the GPS leads us astray and we have to take a U-turn, right? And we end up 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late. That's when we get frustrated. And these people, for 39 years, on a journey that should have taken them about 3 or 4 months, they're stuck for 39 years. And then Moses dies. And just imagine the feeling in the nation at this point. This man who came in and he brought us out and we saw the miracles and we saw the plagues and we saw him go up on the mountain and speak to God for us. We saw him strike a rock and water came out of it, and that doesn't happen. Like, we saw whatever we needed, God provided it through Moses, and we've been wandering and wandering and wandering, but we believe that ultimately God was going to lead us into the promised land through Moses. And now Moses is dead? And everybody in the nation is going, what's next? What happens now? Are we just stuck here? Are we going to form a nation here in the middle of a desert where there's nothing to eat and where there's no dry water? We don't have Moses' ability to just hit rocks and make water come about anymore. And we don't really, what do we do now? And then there's this guy, Joshua, who served as Moses' kind of second in command. And when Moses would go to speak to God, Joshua would follow along and he'd stay back a little bit. And so he'd kind of overhear the voice of God, but not experience it personally. And when Moses said, we're going to go into war, we're going to go to battle, Joshua would lead the charge. And now Moses is dead, and Joshua, along with the rest of the nation, is going, what do we do now? Because they had placed their confidence in Moses. And they're going, Moses didn't take us where Moses said we were going. And so we feel like we've fallen apart a little bit. We felt like what we leaned on and what we relied on and who we believed in has fallen apart about. We've lost our confidence. And right then and right there is where Joshua 1 picks up. Joshua 1 tells us the story of Joshua as he led the Israelites. In Joshua chapter 1 says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, not son of a Nun, but son of a dude named Nun, okay? Joshua, son of Nun, Moses is 8. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, don't you love, if God's going to, speak some encouragement, God starts with, hey, just want you to know, Moses is dead. And here's the crazy thing about that, Moses was a pretty special guy. Moses was this amazing guy who did miracle after miracle after miracle. He gave the law, which would be followed, still to this day, by some Hebrew and Jewish people. It's absolutely unreal, the legend, the living legend of Moses. And God starts hey, just so you know, Moses, dead. And I think really in that moment, what God was saying was look, Moses is not coming back. Moses has died, and we're not bringing him back a few days later. We're going to save that trick for a couple thousand years down the road with my son when he comes to save everybody from their sins. But Moses, this story is over. Moses' story is over, but God is about to say the story isn't over. Moses' story of leadership might be over, but Joshua, I'm continuing to write the story, and you have a part to play in it. So he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then. And I like how, I just picture God speaking like this, dignified British man. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then. It's kind of interesting. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Now, this is something that Moses was never able to accomplish. Moses, the living legend, Moses, the man who spoke face to face with God, Moses, the man who parted a Red Sea, had never been able to cross the Jordan River, had never been able to lead the people across the Jordan River. Moses never accomplished that. And Joshua, if he's hearing God talk to this, he's going, wait. This is something that you wouldn't even let Moses do. And you're saying that I'm going to lead? Who am I? How are we going to do that? If you're Joshua in this moment and your confidence is gone because you've lost sight of Moses and Moses has died and Moses has passed along and you think the story is over, the last thing that you expect God to say is, hey, Joshua, now it's your turn to pick up the mantle. You go and you lead and you accomplish what Moses was incapable of accomplishing. That's the last thing you'd expect. And so if you're Joshua, you're thinking, what? How? Me? Why? What, you're expecting me to do what Moses was not able to do? How can you expect me to do that? And over the next few verses, God explains exactly how he expects Joshua to do that. And the good news that Joshua was about to hear is that God didn't expect Joshua to do it at all or to do it alone. And here's what God said. Here's how God spoke to Joshua. In verse 3, he said, I will give you every place where you set your foot. And then he says, as I promised Moses. Would you just say, as I promised? See, this is interesting because God essentially repeats to Joshua the promise that he gave to Moses. And the reason, part of the reason, we're going to come back to this in a few weeks, but part of the reason that the people were stuck in the wilderness for a long time is that Moses had the promise of God that he would, you know, that God would give him wherever he stepped foot. And then on this opposite side, he had a negative opinion from a whole bunch of people within the nation of Israel. And so he looked and across and he said, like, well, that land looks really good, and God has promised, but these people say no. And God has promised, and these people say no. And God has promised, and these people have a negative opinion. God has promised, but these people have a bad attitude. And Moses, part of the reason they stayed in the wilderness for 39 years is that he chose to believe the negative opinion and the bad attitude over the promises of God. And when God gives this promise to Joshua again, I believe he's giving Joshua the promise that comes with a test. Will you believe that I will go with you? Will you believe that I will give you everything that I've promised to give you? Because if you believe that, you'll take whatever step I call you to take. Does that make sense? God says, you can be confident because I'm going to give you every place that you step foot as I promised Moses. Then he goes on to say this, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. And then he says this, no one, would you say no one? No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, this is a promise repeated. He says, look, as I was with Moses, would you say with Moses? He says, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And if you're Joshua, I mean, again, he had seen how God was with Moses. He had a firsthand, like right up close thing that he said would say, like, hey, I didn't experience it personally myself, but I saw it and it was powerful to know that God was with you, that God was with you when the nation rebelled, to know that God was with you when the nation was faithful, to know that God was with you every step you took, to know that God was with you and would speak face to face with you. I mean, like, he had seen it. He knew what it looked like for God to be with Moses. He knew what it looked like for God to never leave and to never abandon and to never forsake. He knew what that looked like. And God says, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And then in verse 6, he says this, be strong and courageous. Would you say be strong? Say be courageous. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Again, he's reminding him there's a promise, there's a promise, there's a promise. He says, I'm faithful to fulfill my promise. But here's the question. Why would God say to be strong and courageous? Because he knew Joshua's heart and he knew Joshua was fearful. And he knew Joshua was nervous. And he knew Joshua felt inadequate. He knew Joshua had lost his confidence because his confidence was resting in Moses. And he comes to him and says, look, you can be strong and you can be confident and you can be courageous, but it has nothing to do with Moses. I want you to be strong and to be courageous and to be confident. And I want you to lean your confidence on me, not on anything else. Because you're going to lead these people to inherit a promise that I gave them and I always fulfill my promises. Verse 7, he repeats this thing. He says, be strong and very courageous. In case Joshua had thought like, well, just be strong and courageous. He's like, no, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. In other words, if you obey, if you follow, if you obey, if you follow, there will be blessing. There will be success. You will prosper in what I've called you to do. Verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, I love the way God words this to Joshua as God's speaking to him. He says, look, There's going to be moments where you're going to attempt it, where it would be really easy to be filled with fear. But I want you to not be afraid. I want you to be courageous when there's every reason to fear, because I'm with you. And there's going to be reasons across this journey of following me where you're going to want to lose heart, and you're going to want to lose hope, and hope will be difficult to see. But in those moments when hope is difficult to find, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged, for I'm going to be with you. If you notice, God's promise and God's commands always come with the reminder, hey, you can do this, you can be strong, you can be courageous, you can be hopeful, you can obey, but not in your own strength, not because the nation is strong. You can do it because I am going to be with you. I'm going to continue to work through you. I'm going to continue to work for you, that I am not leaving you, I'm not forsaking you, I'm not abandoning you. I will always be with you, so you can do everything I've called you to do. You can be confident, not in yourself, not in your looks, not in your relationships, not in your family, not in your job, not in your finances, not in your money. You can be confident because God has promised to be with you. And that was important to Joshua back then, but here's what I know and here's what you know. That's important to you today. And that's important to you tomorrow. And that's important to you on Wednesday. And that's important to you in February. And that's important to you in July. That all across your life, it is so important to know that you can face life with confidence, not in yourself, but you can face life with confidence that God is with you. There are moments in life that are going to shake you. There are moments that you're going to have like Joshua had, where you felt absolutely in over your head and you're completely incapable and you're completely unable to do what God has called you to do. And in that moment, we need to be reminded that God is with us and we can be confident. You're going to have moments like Joshua had, moments where you know that you are not big enough and you are not strong enough and you are not smart enough and you're not wise enough to do what God is asking you to do, or to stand as the husband, or the wife, or the mom, or the dad, or the student, or the employee, or the boss that God wants you to be, where you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, but you have God with you, and so you can be confident. You're going to have moments like Joshua had, where you have absolutely no idea what you're supposed to do next, but you can be confident because God knows what comes next. You're going to have moments like Joshua where you don't know who or what you can rely on or you can trust in. And in that moment, you need to remember that you can rely on and you can trust in the God who is always with you. Here's the bottom line today. Here's the bottom line that we need to understand today. It's simply this, that faith is not confidence in myself or my surroundings. That's all this stuff. Faith is confidence in what God has promised me, his presence with me, and his power working through me. That's what faith is. Faith is confidence in what God has promised me, that whatever God has promised, he is able and he is capable and he is willing to fulfill, that there is no promise that God has ever made that he didn't fulfill, and he's not about to start now. We can have faith that what God has promised us will come to pass. We can have faith that his presence is always with us, because his presence goes before us. His presence lives in us. Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives through us. That his presence goes with us. That we are never alone. We're never abandoned. We're never forsaken. He is with us. And we can have confidence that his power is always at work through us. That his power is always at work through us. I think one of the most fascinating things in the Old Testament and the New Testament combined is that there's very rare that God just like decides out of nowhere and without talking to anybody, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to do something. It's going to be amazing. Every time God decided to work for mankind, he decided to do it through mankind. And so God's power, it's always working through us. That every time God decided to work through someone, here's the second part of that, is simply this. That every time God decided to work through someone, that person felt absolutely incapable, unable, insecure, and said, God, why me? Why would you work through me? And God said, that's why. Because I want everyone to see my power through someone who it makes no sense for me to do this through. We can have confidence, not in ourselves, not in our surrounding, not in our looks or our job or our finances. We can have confidence in what God has promised us, that his presence goes with us, and that he's always working through us. That's good news. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. As we kind of like promoted this series, there's this Old Testament way that God talked about himself, that God introduced himself to the people of Israel. When Moses was first called by God at the burning bush, and God said, I want you to go and lead my people out of slavery and into the promised land, out of slavery into the promise, just go. And Moses said, well, if they ask who sent me, who do I tell them? What's your name? And if you're familiar with the story, God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, I am. What's your name? I am. What's your name? I am. Okay, but really, what's your name? I am. That's my name. He said, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. And the way that I thought about this as we began this series is simply this, that I'm not confident because I think I am, but I am confident because I know I am. I'm not confident because I think I'm big enough, or I think I'm strong enough, or I think I'm wise enough, or I think I'm capable of doing enough or being enough or whatever. I'm not confident because I think I am. I'm confident because I know I am. Does that make sense? That I am confident is really about that I'm confident in I am. That I'm confident in the God who calls me. I'm confident in the God who loves me. I'm confident in the God who promises that he will never leave me or forsake me. I'm confident in the God who says he'll always work through me, even through my shortcomings and my failings and my weakness. I'm confident that his presence always goes with me and moves with me, and that he's capable of doing everything that he's promised me. That's where my confidence comes from. And as we begin to talk about this over the next few weeks, I want us to understand this, that your confidence has never been about anything else around you. Your confidence should have always been about the God who loves you and calls you and cares for you and promises that he will never leave you or abandon you. And so today, as we begin this series, I just want to remind us, and for some of us, maybe explain this new idea that explains why what you've been confident in has fallen apart before. There's a God who loves us, whose promises never fail, whose presence always goes with us, and whose power is always at work with us. And since he's always with us, we can stand on him and trust in him and be confident in him because he never fails. He never fails. And so here's the thing. As we begin this, I think the question kind of becomes, okay, well, if you have that kind of confidence, what do you do with it? If you actually have that kind of confidence that God is always with you and that he's always working for you and on your behalf and through you, if you have that kind of confidence, how do you live? How do you live? And I have three words that I want to share really quickly as we close up today, and they're simply these three words: courageous, obedient, and optimistic. Courageous, obedient, and optimistic. See, courageous, again, when God said to, what God told Joshua to do, he said, look, I want you to do this. And then he told him to be something. He said, I want you to be strong and be courageous. Don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. And what God was really communicating to Joshua was simply this, that there is nothing to fear even when you're afraid. That if God is with you, if God is standing before you, if God is with you, and if he's working through you, there is nothing for you to fear even when you're afraid. You can be courageous. We can walk into moments that would normally fill us with fear, but God is with us in those moments. Does that make sense? We can walk into moments where we would normally be overcome and feel so inadequate that there's just nothing I can do here. Why would I even act? And God's power working through us and God's presence with us pushes us and pushes us and pushes us and says, you can be confident and you can be courageous and you can be strong right in the middle of your fear and your insecurity. We're not overcome with insecurity. We're not overcome with fear. We stand with the courage that God's confident, that the confidence in God fills us with. We're courageous, we're obedient. Would you say obedient? Obedient. See, God also said to Joshua, be careful to obey all the law. Be careful to obey all the law. Do not turn to the right or the left. Do not turn to the right or left. See, what he was really saying is, look, Joshua, I'm calling you and I'm going to give you some instructions and I'm going to tell you step by step by step by step. And I want to know if you're going to follow. I don't want you to go, I don't want you to start moving this way and then veer off a little bit. I want you to veer off a little. I want you to stay on my path. And here's the thing. All of us know it's really difficult to stay on the path. There's moments where our feet tend to drift. And God says, look, in those moments where your feet are tempted to drift, you can actually be obedient because my presence is going to go with you and my strength is going to fill you. So you can be obedient even when you don't think you can. I want you to stay to my word. I want you to stay. Don't turn to the right or left. We lean into God's ability. We don't count on our own ability. We lean into God's ability. So we're courageous, we're obedient, and finally, we are optimistic. Would you just say optimistic? We're optimistic. God said to Joshua, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. See, here's the thing. I think so often we can just become kind of discouraged over the course of life. And I think the older you are, maybe the more you feel this. But you've seen things like that you put your hope in and it didn't come to be. And you had something that you believed in, you were positive about, and then it didn't come to be and it didn't last and it didn't stay. And I think over the course of a lifetime, we can become really pessimistic and we go, well, that's cool that something else is kind of getting going, but it's probably not going to last because nothing lasts. Because nothing ends up working the way you think it's going to work. Because no one ends up coming through the way you think they're supposed to come through. So why even really get our hopes up? And I think it's really interesting that God specifically said, do not be discouraged. He said, I'm calling you to something big. I'm calling you to fulfill a promise. I'm calling you to take hold of the promise. I'm calling you to just run after what I've promised and what I have for you. And there's going to be times where it's difficult. And there's times where you're going to be shaken. And there's times where you're probably going to have a setback. And there's probably going to be times where it feels like it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen, if it's going to happen at all. But in the middle of that, Joshua, and in the middle of that to our church, and in the middle of that to all of us as individuals, I think God wants to say, would you stay optimistic? Would you choose that you're not going to be discouraged? Because if God is with us, if God is for us, if God is working through us, if God has promised us, there is nothing that God's promised that he won't fulfill. There's nothing that he said about him being with you that there's no action on our part that sends God away from us. There's nothing that we can do that stops God's power from working through us. So why don't we just decide, I'm going to stay optimistic. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to continue to believe, even when it doesn't look like it, I'm going to continue to believe that God is still with me and God is still working through me. We can be courageous, obedient, and optimistic. Now, that's just kind of a starting point. And next week, we're going to pick up the story of Joshua. But here's the question. I told you at the beginning, we're going to ask a question at the beginning, and we're going to ask a question at the end. And the question that we're going to ask as we go through this series is simply this. How would you live your life if you were absolutely confident that God is with you, for you, and working through you? That as teachers and bosses and as students and as husbands and wives and as parents and as children, that whatever we find ourselves in and wherever we find ourselves in life, how would you live in your current situation if you were absolutely confident that God was with you, that he's for you, and he's working through you? And that's where we're going to pick it up and start next week. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, today I thank you so much that we can be confident in you. God, that where our confidence has sometimes been placed in things or in people where it didn't belong and it fell through, God, thank you that ultimately that is even your love, pushing us back and pulling us back towards you. God, I pray that we would choose to be people who place our confidence and our trust and our weight solely and 100% on you. God, thank you that we can lean our lives on you and we can be confident. Thank you that we can trust in you and be confident. Thank you that we know your presence goes with us so we can be confident. Thank you that we know you're working through us so we can be confident. And thank you for all the things that you have promised us. And we're going to be confident in that. God, help us to know that we're not going to be confident in ourselves or in anything else. We're just simply going to place our confidence in you. We're going to be absolutely confident that you're with us, that you're for us, and you're working through us. And God, that is what's going to drive us for the rest of our days, the rest of our lives. We're coming after you. And God, over the next couple weeks, I pray that you would open our eyes to see what it is that you want us to do and who it is that you want us to be as we place our confidence in you alone. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.